refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.
Welcome to another edition of At the Breweries.
Give me a keg of beer.
Pull up a bar stool and get ready to join the keg-versation.
A shark on whiskey is mighty risky. A shark on beer is a beer engineer.
Your one-stop shop for brews in the news is on tap.
Beer! More beer! And more beer!
Here's At the Breweries with Brian Noonan.
Yes, At the Breweries has come to Friday night, Saturday morning. The time might be a little different, but the crew remains the same. Very excited to say hello to the man who has spent over a decade putting up with me. Cody Goff is here.
Hi, Brian.
On this side of the glass,
yeah,
which is, I'm uncomfortable with it, but we'll try to make do. Good to see you. John Carruthers is here from Revolution Brewing, one of the founders of ManBQ, a beer aficionado, a meat expert, a man who can cook and drink at the same time and still somehow not put on any weight. Jesse Valenciana is here, and we are joined by a special guest, Jim, pronounce your last name for me.
Plackey.
Jim Plackey from Good Beer Hunting. You can go to goodbeerhunting.com. There's stories, sightlines, podcasts, everything about beer is there. I'm concerned about the big headline on the front page, the home page.
Yeah.
That White Claw could be the only thing that saves craft beer from itself. How can that be? I know Jesse, John, you follow Jesse on Instagram. Jesse, very basic, likes to post pictures of himself with the White Claw as well. Now, how can that be, John? How can White Claw save craft beer?
This article was written by the wonderful Dave Holmes, who some might know from Esquire magazine, I believe, and he
Esquire. Esquire magazine.
Wow.
Esquire. It's French.
Wow.
And
we're still on terrestrial radio. Go ahead. So it's written by a fine writer from Esquire magazine.
Dave Holmes.
What's in that mug? Sorry. So
beer,
Dave Holmes wrote this. What does he theorize? How does he make this point?
He says that some people just need to get back to not thinking when they're drinking.
It's not thinking when they're drinking.
Just it's lime-ish flavored.
Oh, I
alcohol.
See. Because people are starting to be a little too precious about their beer drinking,
or fatigued by so many flavors all at once. Who can taste so many things all at one time?
Right here,
John
Super Tasters.
John and Jesse. They come in. Their palates are dividing things into
I'm about to taste those cupcakes over there.
Yes, you're welcome. Please, nothing. I'm a big proponent of sweets with beers, especially stout.
The stout, yeah.
Yes, you got to eat some sweets. So, good to see you guys. Before we get into some of the beers you've brought, there have been a couple big stories lately about the beer industry. First of all, and I'm sorry to say this, I had never heard of the company that bought Ballast Point.
Oh, yeah, no.
What's going on?
A lot of us.
There's only nine. The company has nine employees. They make 600 barrels, and for reference, how many barrels does Revolution make a year?
85,000.
All right, so 600 compared to 85,000. They're small. Can we say that without offending anybody? What is the name of this? Kings and Convicts.
Kings and Convicts.
Kings and Convicts.
Angels and Devils.
Wow.
Yeah.
I made a joke. What do you know about this beer?
It's not a Dan Brown novel.
What's that?
Yeah. It's not a Dan Brown novel.
Okay, so we know they have a lot more money than we thought.
Tom Hanks will not be starring in the film.
I mean, don't say never.
Oh, that's true.
But okay, he could star in the Ballast Point story.
Now, Ballast Point has sold a couple times in the last, three or four years?
Well, this is the second time. It sold for $1 billion
that's with a
3 years
B.
ago?
Billion.
Billion.
Wow.
But yeah, Kings and Convicts, they're a small brewery up in the North Shore. Yeah.
Highwood,
that's
there you
it.
Go.
Okay.
And yeah, this came out of nowhere.
They had 400 Twitter followers when this came out. Their website crashed because everyone's like, what the hell is that place?
And then, have you had their beer? Has anybody tried it? No.
Somebody in our community had their amber ale and said it was, you could drink it.
Okay.
It was not rocks.
That's a ringing endorsement.
It was not cat litter.
Well, it's not ramen noodle beer, so I guess that'll be fine.
Wow. At least
never
going to
forget that, huh?
No, I'm never letting that go. Never. That I'll go to my grave.
We're known for our amber ale. That's great.
That's All right, so nobody knows about this company.
I jokingly said that they sound like a jean company that does those pants with the embroidered.
Oh yeah, with the big flaps and
pockets. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. For guys who still think Ed Hardy is a thing.
Well, it's either that or like the t-shirts that MMA fighters wear.
Oh affliction. Yeah,
you know, like right.
Where Tap do those out. Come from?
It sounds like an affliction
this is,
thing.
This there is like if Byron's Hot Dogs came out tomorrow and like we are proud owners of the Alinea Group, and we were just like, oh,
where'd you get all those? Must be a lot of money in hot dogs.
You can't say that Ballast Point is Alinea. It's like if they bought Bonapie for something, they're like,
all right. It's like it's like if the Kane County Cougars bought the Cubs.
But Ballast
like,
Point,
welcome the Cubs to the Kane County Cougars family.
Ballast Point has a pretty impressive history in the craft beer world, right? They've been around a while, and they kind of set the standard out in California.
Yeah, people were paying $15 a six pack for that beer quite recently.
What happened with those guys was I think they were, I mean, I feel they were overvalued. You know, they were kind of killing the West Coast IPA market. They were like the standard for that.
Okay.
And that's where I think the valuation came in. I don't know where they got $1 billion, but that was right after Lagunitas. So,
right.
You know, Constellation, it was like their one shot to, you know, they were swinging for the fences and they're like, this is what we're going to drop and this is our horse.
And this is the brand we're going to stake it all on.
Heineken bought Lagunitas, right. ABI bought some obscure brewery I've never heard of, and this was like they're that.
Okay, yeah. And so they made that move. Now, does Ballast Point not sell as much? Are they not as popular? Why would they want to get rid of them? Well, except for that somebody came in with a crazy offer.
The price point was, like I said, like $15. It was good beer, but when it's everywhere and it's on grocery shelves and it's still $15, you know. Some people like to look local.
Right.
Sometimes something's not as hard to find, so you don't feel you should have to pay as much of a premium.
Yes, exactly.
But also, when they started declining, Constellation cut a lot of their dedicated sales and marketing staff. So instead of people selling only Ballast Point and pushing Ballast Point, it was Constellation employees with a portfolio of things to push. And it's like, hey, you want some mango IPA? And, you know.
No,
people
we
said
don't.
No, I guess.
And they also cut budgets to like their barrel aging program.
They killed the whole barrel aging warehouse.
Yeah.
They
dumped, what was it, 200,000 barrels or something down the drain?
What? And it was, I don't think it was that many, but it was a lot. It was a whole barrel. The
it
whole
wasn't
barrel
that many,
warehouse full of aging beer, they just dumped at the beer. Because it would have been too much money to bottle it, market it, sell
That's
it.
That's insane.
And I think it was
we could have taken a couple straws out there, Cody, and taken care of business.
Why are we not brewing?
It was literally double what Revolution does in barrels in a year. They just dumped
they
on
just
the drain.
Dumped it. Well, then you know what? Then you deserve to be bought out by a 9-employee brewery from Chicago.
The scary thing is that somebody out there has enough money to buy a brewery that was once valued at $1 billion.
Right, and a brewery that a lot of people, even people who are really entrenched in the industry, like you guys, hadn't really heard of, you know?
That's wild. I heard that one of the investors behind that, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, owns interest in Franzia.
No, Cupcake Wines.
Cupcake, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he's like, apparently they brought him in to finish this deal.
Okay.
He's like, I think he put up the most amount of money for it.
Okay. Now, there's another story with a happy ending. We're going to get into that because Chicago representing big in some of the best breweries of the decade. We'll talk about that. We'll get into some styles. We'll get into some recommendations. If you have a beer question, especially with the holidays coming up, you're going to be going to parties. You don't want to be the schlub showing up with, you know, a sixer old style. That's great for drinking out in the yard while you're smoking a cigar or cutting the grass. But you want to make an impression when you're going to a party.
Yeah.
So you want to bring something nice. We will continue with At the Breweries on the other side. It is 720 WGN. All right. This is At the Breweries. Cody Goff is here, John Carruthers is here, Jesse Valenciana is here, and Jim Plocky from Good Beer Hunting is also here, a new addition to the panel. We were talking about, we were very excited and very confused about the Ballast Point sale, but now Half Acre Beer Company and a couple other breweries, Three Floyds and Metropolitan, all getting shout-outs for being named top 50 breweries of the decade.
You missing anyone in there?
There's somebody, but I can't see it in here.
Shmemba Blubishimin?
Is that in it? See, because I'm reading it. Oh, there it is. Revolution Brewing came in at number 30. Okay, I was like, because I kept thinking, I'm only seeing two names and a runner-up, because Metropolitan got the honorable mention. So congratulations, first of all, John.
Thank you.
John,
that's all me.
John, I know. Listen, it's all your tweets and your Instas and your, you know, all your crazy content. But so Revolution is there, Half Acre is there, and Three Floyds, which is in Munster, if people haven't been out there. So that's a pretty big deal, because there's how many breweries now in the United States? Jim?
8,000.
8,000 breweries. So to be in the top 50, not too shabby. Did they give you a little something at the brewery? A little sixer or something?
They were like, drink as much beer as you want.
That's fantastic.
Same deal as every other
John,
day.
Is that right? Fired.
John, yeah. Guess what? You're still here. Fantastic. Listen, we all don't hear that. So enjoy. Enjoy. This is it. So that's good, right? I mean, breweries love to have those are the kind of things that help enhance your reputation.
I've read through that whole list because that's technically work. That's not
you gotta
messing
do
around on the internet at work. and even, I mean, if you just look at the list of honorable mentions, like that is just a killer lineup of breweries.
So do you take these lists serious? Obviously, any best of list is a lot of opinion. But once you're on the list, you're like, oh, yeah, they're right.
Yeah,
absolutely right. Best list ever.
One of the best lists ever, yeah.
I've never seen a list better.
Top 50 lists of the decade.
Second. That was the better list.
It's number 14 on my list of 740 lists of 2017 to 2019.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive. So are you doing all right?
What?
No. Because I hear you ran some sort of a weird beer endurance contest. And
yes.
You may or may not have regurgitated all over yourself. What happened?
I may not, but it was real touch and go there.
Okay.
No, so what this was a piece for the Takeout upcoming. Did something called a beer mile. And if you all out there in AM Radio Land have not heard about this, it is an act of supreme physical domination where you go to a track. There's a special area where you have to chug a beer before you run a lap, and then you have to stop, open, and chug another one. So you can do four beers
in
over
a mile.
It is horrific.
Are you trying to do it for time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Time and not, you know, yakking.
Well, that I get.
If you expel any beer, you get a penalty lap. You only get one, though. You know, you can, like, once you start going, you can just keep going, and you only have to do the one lap, so it's fine. But we brought a woman from Runner's World. Cindy, she runs, like, 630 miles, and she was just, like, dying.
Really?
Yeah.
This sounds like a college hazing ritual.
It sounds like a fraternity thing.
So if you look up the records, like, it is overpopulated. The leaderboard is overpopulated with Canadians. And I'm like, yeah, this is a very Canadian-seeming thing to me.
So this is like that movie, the Beer Fest movie.
But people do this in, like, 6 minutes. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I can't run a non-beer mile in 6 minutes.
That's insanity.
It was fun.
So this was for the Takeout, and mm-hmm. you write a lot for the Takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a pop-up coming up soon, don't you? Is it tomorrow?
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. That was soon. You had a pop-up. How was it?
It was great. We sold all the sausage.
Very nice.
We did traditional Swedish potato sausage with fondue, cabbage salad, and we did potatoes for the vegetarians.
Very nice.
It's still the Midwest.
Yes, of course. All right, let's get into a beer or two before we have to take a break. So, what are we looking at? Just personal favorites for this time of year. Is there a style that we're going to work on today? What's the beer? And if you have any questions, 312-981-7200. That is the number. You can ask any of the guys some beer related questions.
We're all over the place today as far as beers. The first one, first and foremost, we were drinking Half Acre that we didn't talk about.
Right.
Their original Reaper. It's kind of like a sessionable stout.
It's like 6%.
It's okay. Delicious. I love it.
New year round. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Now Cody has become obsessed with stouts lately.
Yeah.
Why? And it.
Well, we went to Phobab.
We did go to Phobab.
Bourbon barrel aged stouts, number one. I bought about 1,000 bottles of Bourbon County Stout this year. Every bottle I could get my hand on. And I've just been really into it. I mean, I've had some Revolutions lately, the Death Star and then the Plum variant. That's a
Death
stout.
By Plums. That's the same beer with plums.
Perfect. There you go.
It's the same beer with plums.
Yeah.
Plums.
You like plums?
Plums.
You want some Death Star and plums? We got it.
I don't know. Tis the season. Usually I'm an eggnog and brandy guy all December, but this year it's stouts. I'm just all about
Very
the stouts.
Nice.
Now, this is a much lighter stout, and I would agree it's a year-round kind of stout. Because
right.
there are many I've had recently that, like, you're going to have in the wintertime, and then you say goodbye for a while.
Well, that's last year when we talked about stouts, you get the Expedition. Who makes the Expedition?
Oh, the Bell's
Expedition. Bell's Expedition, yeah. Which is...
It's a great stout.
Perfect it's a great stout. Stout, but it's, I think, 11%. It's not it's sessionable.
There. Yeah.
It's one bottle,
I guess all beers can be sessionable.
Well, sure.
You know?
From the stout conversation, you guys got me turned on to Hubbard's Cave, which you brought in, and I've just been buying that nonstop every time I go up to the Beermiscuous. I live like two blocks from Beermiscuous now.
I think you have to start going to AA, man. It sounds like
this is a real Kings and Convicts energy you're bringing.
Bam! He's going to be a convict after he leaves today. I have a feeling.
Came in a King left this a great convict. New bottle shop.
So for somebody who doesn't understand what this home what that means when you say it's a sessionable stout, who would like to explain what a sessionable stout is?
I mean,
well, what's a stout? First of all, because people see it, and they, I think a lot of the conventional thought for some people is they see a stout and they're very dark, and they think, oh, this is going to be really heavy. So what's the textbook definition of a stout, and then what makes a stout sessionable?
Well, this is not definition. Really technically like a sessionable stout. I mean, like when you talk about session beers, you're mostly talking about like, let's say like an IPA. So IPAs are, what, like around 5 and higher. So if you have an IPA that comes in at like 3% ABV, you can have more than one.
Right.
So it's like you're having a session. But
so you can you can drink more than one.
Yeah.
All right.
What's a stout, Jesse?
Yes, what's a stout?
I mean,
all eyes on Jesse tonight. John is John's pulling back. He's still suffering from his beer mile.
Knives out. He's stout.
It's an ale with a very malt-forward bill.
Okay.
Rusted malt.
Roasted malts.
I've missed this.
I don't think you could. We've talked about Guinness,
right?
You know, and that comes at a pretty low ABV.
Yeah,
but
it's like 5 something.
Yeah,
four two.
Yeah,
that's like 4 something.
But if anything, that's a session stout. But it's not. I don't think that's what they go. Right. They're not like Guinness session stout.
So this is the Half Acre. Which, as we said, is on the list of top 50 breweries, along with Revolution and
Very
Three
well
Floyds.
Deserved.
Yes, very well deserved. For
yeah, Half Acre, wonderful beer.
What? Because they've been around for a while too, and they've done a lot of great stuff. Daisy Cutter was one of the ones that really kind of pushed them forward.
It is crazy. Daisy Cutter has been out 10 years now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
See, and you know, for people who have been drinking craft beers for that long, it makes sense. Other people are like, there was craft beer 10 years ago? Other than, you know, Sam Adams or something? Yes.
Yeah,
there has been a lot. How long has Revolution been around?
2010. We'll be hitting 10 years in February.
Very nice.
It was Metropolitan, Half Acre. Well, Goose, Metropolitan, Half Acre, Revolution were kind of the big guys.
Yeah.
Argus has been around for a while, yeah.
Yeah. They have.
Oh, be nice.
All right. I didn't say So we like this. We like the Half Acre Stout. Now, now that we're talking about kind of the holidays, mm-hmm. Since you guys are both food guys as well,
or Husky
our
boys.
Stouts are no. But are stouts more for like desserts? Some stouts like more barrel aged stuff that can be a little sweeter. Those are obviously for dinners. But a stout like this, what would you drink a stout like this with?
If it's got a roasty flavor, and this definitely has that,
very roasty.
You can use it with roasted meats to kind of replace, you know, you get kind of the flavor of a smoked or a grilled meat in the pairing that isn't necessarily present.
Okay.
So, like, if you just have your oven or your crock pot pulled pork, get a nice roasty stout in there and, you know, play up the natural campfire-ness of some of the malts that go into these.
Now, there's also, like, pastry stouts. So those I would not pair with anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's just a huge range of stouts, but something like this, yeah, I agree with John. Nice roasty notes to it. I'd like that with, like, I don't know, like roasted veggies if you want to go down there.
I didn't know you ate vegetables, man.
I had to. Parole officer made me. Wow. That's a weird story. We'll talk about it off the air.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off the air, which we're going to go off the air right now. Take a quick break. When we come back, more of At the Breweries. John Carruthers, Jesse Valenciana, Jim Plocky, and the very quiet and increasingly a drunker, Cody Goff.
He's a lazy guy.
We'll do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. Running down a dream, running down a beer, whatever you want to run down. We're here till 1 o'clock. Then it's Matt Bubala. doing a little At the Breweries. Usually you used to hear this on Sunday. Now it's here because we're here. It's fantastic. John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing is with us. Jesse Valenciano, one of the founders of Man BQ and well-known beer aficionado. And Jim Plucky from Good Beer Hunting, one of the writers there. He is with us as well as the man that I'm proud to call a guy I married, and he's still married, so my record is intact. Cody Goff is here.
You're 1-0.
Yep, I'm 1-0. Pretty good. If you know anybody who's looking for an efficient, my record is impeccable.
I will endorse him.
Yes, I did one wedding.
Endorse? Is that what it would be?
Sure, it's an endorsement.
He's your sponsor.
How about like and subscribe?
How many stars would you give him on Yelp?
Yeah.
Five.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
But if you see one 5-star review, you're still going to be skeptical.
True.
You know, really? Did he post this himself?
I'm like, it's some Ukrainian bot.
The laziest Ukrainian bot ever. I'm just posting one review and then I'm knocking off.
Mergy, number one, yes.
I like you get.
You do good weddings. You're very religious.
We're going to get calls about this. This isn't good accent work.
Well, that's all right.
You guys are usually here Sunday nights. This is a Friday night at midnight.
Right, it's midnight.
We get to really let loose.
We're supposed to be sober? Come on.
No. Really? All right, so... No, we're not. If you have a beer question, 312-981-7200. If you're looking for a recommendation, these guys will recommend something. They, even though, you know, right now they sound like they're just talking silly, but they know their stuff. These guys, that's why they're here, because they know their stuff. All right, what are we going to do?
No, it'll be fine.
So what are you uncorking there?
Okay, so this beer I'm very excited about. This is Avery Swanson's beer. So Avery Swanson was the head brewer at Jester King down in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
She left them, so the beer world was like, where is she going? And it was a big mystery, you know. She makes amazing beers. She developed a really good barrel aging program for Jester King, award-winning program. So she came up to Chicago, and she... You know, let the cat out of the bag. She's brewing at Half Acre, and today was the release of her first beer.
Oh, wow.
So her project is called Keeping Together. Her first beer is a table beer, and it's called The Art of Holding Space.
Okay. So, explain really table beer to the uninitiated.
It's like a 3.2% ABV beer that she, what did she age in?
In the fooder for like a little while.
Yeah, so it's mixed culture.
Notes of table.
Yeah.
Depends on what you clean the table with first.
Okay.
Orange pledge, lemon pledge.
Hey, Avery, we talked about your beer. It said it tastes like Glade.
Wow, thanks.
But it's a nice, really beautiful beer, actually. I had some earlier today, if you can't tell. Half Acre.
Well, we couldn't tell you.
We can't tell yet. Because you're not pouring
I keep on forgetting words today.
It's very, very light in color. Almost got a little hint of... It looks like a lager.
If we're comparing it to tables, it's the lightest color IKEA that you get from the bin.
More of a beechwood table. Like one of those ones where you'd have the white legs and the beechwood top.
I think it's called the toblin.
I don't think they can use beechwood on the label.
It's illegal.
Someone else got there first.
Oh, like, right, okay.
A century ago.
Avery Swanson, the queen of beers.
Wow. Oh, Beechwood, yeah, that's right. Wow. Yes, now I'm like,
sorry, that wasn't a very good bit, and I stuck with it too long.
You did stick with it, but you know, and
it's officially Saturday
heads.
Energy.
And John said it's like, it's coming around.
Yeah, I'm going to get this. No,
this
that's
is my
good.
Fraser Crane reference. It was just a delicate origami that unfolded into amazing humor.
Wow, you are deep. I thought you were deep at, you know, on Sunday evenings. When it gets way late, you get even deeper.
Oh, yeah, I know. Welcome to 1 a.m.'s near John.
Very exciting. So what should people be looking for in this?
This is a little bit lighter on the palate. It's not exactly tart, but with the mixed culture, you might get some tartness.
It's got it's not sweet tart, but it does have, there is a tartness, an underlying tartness.
I don't want to put you through the pain that John did with the sours.
I really like this beer.
Yeah.
This
is it's a got a real lemon lime Gatorade thing that I like.
Oh no, that's everyone's least favorite Gatorade.
The lemon lime?
Yeah. Everyone gets the purple or the
I don't mind the ooh, the blue's good.
The cucumber lemon.
I'm going to go out and alienate another I'm not a fan of Gatorade at all.
No.
Are you a Powerade?
Yeah.
No. I'm a No-aid.
Oh.
I drink water.
Water.
No,
normie Gatorade.
That's right.
Boring.
Basic aid. Just water. No, this is very nice. It's very effervescent.
Yeah.
It's effervescent. It's simple. Like, there's hints. I want to be like one of those horrible jazz critics and be like, it's all the notes she's not playing. But like, seriously, this is a very restrained, delicious beer.
It is.
And it's, I would...
But surprisingly complex for what it is. Oh, I threatened to chug one at Half Acre, and they told me that's against the law. So
that's a Half Acre
law. What law? I was going to say, what law
is that? I don't think you can open...
It sounds like the bartender was already getting mad at you for something else.
I wouldn't say personality, but...
Wow.
Huh. We have a question from one of our texters.
Yeah.
What beer from Mars can you recommend? M-A-R-Z, not Mars the planet.
Chug Life. I was going to say Curiosity. Rover. It's a rover. It's a machine. NASA. Don't worry about it.
It's making a NASA joke.
Yeah, it's no, it's not a beer at
I'm
all.
So happy to have had the second worst bit of this show.
I'm here to help. I'm here to help.
See, that he sits quietly, biding his time, and he picks his spot, and then...
Still missing. Oh.
You spent too much time with science. That's your problem.
Science, and
stout.
I'm being on brand. What can I say?
You are on brand. Listen to the Curiosity podcast. That's what Cody does for his day job, by the way. So I don't know Mars.
Mars is a community brewing company down in Bridgeport.
Okay.
Make amazing beer. Honestly, they try so many different things. They throw so many different things at the wall and do so many intriguing like styles. But their tropical double IPA, the name eludes me. It's got a dragon on the can. You'll know when you see it. Has very fruit forward hops and a malt profile to match, where it'll taste like one of those fruited beers, but it's all just from this really complex bill. It's delicious.
Very nice. Jungle Boogie is a really good one. That's a wheat.
Yeah, that's a wheat with the South African rooibos tea.
We totally brought this in for the show.
Yes, I do remember that. I do remember
that's a good
that.
One. And they do Chug Life.
Okay.
Which
I hear that's against the law. That's what Jim says.
It's a Half Acre World.
They'll come get you.
That's just for Jim.
It's a trap.
Jim is the
He's got an ankle bracelet. We have a lot of questions for him. But Chug Life is one of my go-tos. If I see it at a bar and I want to go with something a little bit light and
he doesn't mean a pearl thing. He means a male anklet.
Oh, sure. That's nice. Like puka shells or something?
He's taken. but Mars has, if you ever want to have Mars beer, experience Mars beer, go to Maria's down in Bridgeport. They always have a ton of them on draft. And
or go to their tap room.
Oh, their tap room too, but yeah.
We could go to their tap room.
Damn it, Jim, you're so smart.
you could look in a bunch of stores. They might have some.
That's right.
Or you'd could like, go to where they like, make it.
True.
You know, I go to the corner tavern. They have a lot of Revolution beer. Really? Well, we have tap rooms with just Revolution beer.
You know, I'm giving Maria some business, Jim.
Are you on their payroll?
For Pete's sake, maybe.
All right, perfect. Listen, we're all looking for a gig. So Maria's, so go down to Mars. Pretty much, it sounds like you guys are saying anything they make, you should try. Because there's something for every taste. Would that be fair?
They don't have these like hard parameters. They get to go out there and experiment, which is really cool. They have a very exciting beer program. So support those guys and try their stuff. There's a lot for everybody.
All right, John, we have a question that is just for you. If you can pull yourself away from your phone for a moment.
I was looking up the name of that beer.
Oh, that's
it's called Splash.
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 That's the tropical pale ale. And the double IPA version of that is also delightful.
Right, very nice. The reason I said to pull yourself away, because this has to do with a Revolution beer.
Let's hear it.
And this is Diane. Hello, Diane.
Yeah, sorry. I'm here. I had a question. I bought the Revolution Eugene Robust Porter.
Yeah,
one of Cody's favorites and mine.
It is so good. I was so impressed.
God, I'm glad you like it.
It's not as bitter as a lot of these porters that you buy from the small breweries. A lot of them are a little bit too bitter, but this one is just right.
Wow.
And a wonderful
Is Diane
sweetness.
On your staff, John? Is Diane one of your marketing
people? No, I am not.
Diane, the check's officially in the mail.
That's who he was texting. He's like, hey, Diane, call now. Call now.
Diane, I'm dying here.
This is the time. I made some bad joke. I need help.
It was 11.2, which also is very nice.
Is it 11 point? Is
no,
Eugene that
high? Eugene is 6.7,
I
believe.
Oh, is it a 6?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I always was a fan of the Belgian ales, and it's, you know, very similar to the originals.
Good malty
It's got a huge malty backbone. Yeah. And just even recently,
and
I think the brewers have been killing it.
As far as recommendations for the holidays, you know what I usually bring is something like the framboise, like the Lindemans, a peach, or the black cherry, I think you can find. Mm-hmm. Those are really delicious. They're not really a lot of alcohol in them, but they're very flavorful.
Very nice.
Good dessert beers.
Yeah.
Well, Diane, thank you for the call, and thank you for the recommendations.
All right. You're welcome.
Thanks. Thanks, Diane.
Yeah, a lot of coffee beers do have a little extra bitterness, like she was saying. But Eugene is...
Well, it's not a coffee beer, but she's right.
Well, doesn't Eugene have coffee? It's a coffee
porter.
No,
there is a coffee, Eugene.
Which is a really...
Eugene is just a regular robust porter.
Oh, see, I've had the Eugene coffee.
Coffee Eugene's
delightful, too. The coffee Eugene is really nice.
Coffee Eugene is one of my favorite beers of all time.
How much are you getting paid?
Sam.
Oh, my goodness.
I've had a lot of coffee beers lately, especially on my new stout kick. And, I bought a four-pack of coffee beers from some liquor store near me. And I brought it home, and I had, literally two sips, and I dumped it out. I was like, this is trash. I hate it. So you spoiled me. I'm very upset. Revolution. If I can't find a coffee, Eugene, because you don't know.
I'm just excited that we turned you into, someone who's just way too aggressive.
Yes, he's a monster. He's very angry now. He's taking the ramen episode and amplifying it.
He went back to throw the remaining bottles against the window of the liquor store.
I went back and I punched the clerk in the face.
You put it in the rider.
It's like a Rage Against the Machine video.
This is your fault because you guys are the ones that keep bringing it.
Whoa, easy, man. Okay. Kings and Convicts is hiring.
Roll back.
We need aggressive sales reps.
Drink this right now!
Do you have what it takes to be employee number 10?
I mean, are you looking for a podcast?
Is everybody else's beer crap?
They just bought a giant brewery.
So, oh, no, yeah. They're well set up.
Oh, yeah, they're fine. We can mock it. Anyway.
It's punching up. That's comedy, man.
That is punching. Well, are they up yet?
Hey, they went from making 600 barrels to 200,600 barrels.
So we're punching up.
They bought Ballast Point, and I had White Castle twice for lunch this week.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Nice. It was a great week. I don't know how that's my argument.
I had some for the first time over Thanksgiving week. Had them for
first time ever?
No, first time in a while. I had them twice, and then I made White Castle stuffing.
Ooh, I did that too.
Nice. Did you like it?
I did it with the Impossible Slider, so it was a new taste sensation.
Mm. Was it all right?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I have vegans in my family. I'm a live and let live type dude.
I was about to alienate vegans too. Put them on the list of everybody
don't do
else.
It. Please
I've
don't do it.
I'm not going to do it. I hope everybody enjoyed. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got a couple more beers. If you have more questions, 312-981-7200. It's at the breweries. John Carruthers, Jesse Valenciana, Jim Plackey, Cody Goff, and me, all on WGN. All right, at the breweries, we're here for another few minutes, and then Matt Bubala will be in after 1 o'clock. John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing, Jesse Valenciana, one of the founders of Manbecue, well-known beer aficionado, and Jim Plackey from Good Beer Hunting. Cody Goff is here as well. Everybody's here. We have a West Coast IPA question, gentlemen. Are you ready for a West Coast IPA question? Let's find out, because Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Yeah, there we go.
What's up, Rob?
Good. Hey, I wanted to point you guys into a direction that I know that isn't as popular right now because of all the hazy IPA hoopla going on. But I still like to try a lot of different styles of beer. And Miskatonic Brewing Company out of Darien is doing a West Coast Wizard IPA. And it has got to be one of... It is... When I tried my first sip of it, I immediately thought Stone. And I was, just blown away by it, considering all of the hazy fruitiness and soft, pillowy goodness that they are. It was just really good to have a nice, dry, bitter, clear, clean IPA. And I was just wondering if you guys had any experience with it, and if you still appreciate that style of beer just as much as I do.
Oh, I'll take this because we just released Northwest Hero with the flannel shirt and the... To do that, and literally when we were putting this beer out, our brewers, you'd ask them, hey, what, what inspired this? I got to do the tweets and stuff because I don't know anything on my own. And they would say, it's those original beers when we were coming up learning to brew, the Stones, the Sierra Nevadas, and it's just, you don't find that style of beer anymore, especially not in something new. So, I'm with you. When you find something new just based on the old school West Coast, if it hits all those notes you remember, it almost is just bigger than some of its parts because it's something that doesn't exist like it used to.
So explain everybody, or most people know what an IPA is. Mm-hmm. What's this style that you're talking
about?
And thanks, Rob.
Yeah, East Coast is that hazy, fruit-forward. It's very much in ascendance now. West Coast is when most people had their first IPA and said, I don't like IPA. It's a tiny, floral, dry, bitter. But for some of us, that's like a thing that we really want to go back to. And it's, you know, not as easy to find as it used to be.
Right.
So it is cool that, you know, an up-and-coming brewery like Miskatonic, you know, where it's easy to put out hazy after hazy after hazy, is taking, you know, their shot at something classic.
And you guys have talked about Miskatonic before.
Mm-hmm. We brought in their Oktoberfest last time around?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Very good. All right, so we poured something else. One of them was a crew. Are they both crews?
The last two that I have are crews.
Yes. Okay. So Cruz Blanca, if you haven't been there on Randolph Street, they put out some good beers.
Yeah, so Jacob over at Cruz, I think, he's honestly doing some of my favorite beers in Chicago, because they're small enough where he can really take the barrel program the way he wants it, and it's a really good reflection of him and his style. So they did a bunch of really cool barrel-aged stouts, and he likes to mix it up. You know, one year he'll do the same recipe in a bourbon barrel, and the next year he does it in a rum barrel.
Okay.
The first one we tried was Loco Dinero, and that's an Imperial Blonde ale aged in rye whiskey and rum barrels with Sparrow Coffee. So, Cody, that's a little bit on the sweeter side.
Yeah.
I really like that one. And the last one that I poured, the little bit hazy, clear one, this is one of my absolute favorite beers. It's a Saison that he barrel-aged with dried black limes, and then he put in these French oak puncheons.
Okay, what are French oak puncheons?
Big old barrels.
Okay.
Yeah. So he put those in for about 16 months, and I don't know. What do you guys think about this beer?
This beer is wonderful.
It's very good. When you said Saison, I had a different flavor profile in my head from other Saisons. This one does. You do get the lime. You get that citrusy, little bit of tartness when you drink it, but not overpowering, not to the point where you go, oh, this is a sour.
Yeah.
It's smooth. Yes. I don't like sours, and I like this.
It's awesome how it compares to the Keeping Together beer. Like they compare and contrast, like they both have a lemon lime flavor, but they both do it really differently.
Yeah.
So this one is nice. Now John brought one. You guys both just brought one.
Yeah.
What is that red there?
My white whale is to cure your absolute hate of anything like Belgian inflected with any sort of tart component to it. And I brought in some Wisconsin Belgian Red from New Glarus I had from my last trip up there.
And I love New Glarus.
And this tends a lot sweeter than a lot of the other stuff. And I'm like, oh, if Brian likes anything, he's going to like this. And I poured you about a hair of it. You were like, eh.
I don't know what it is, but that's the beauty of having so many beers and so many breweries. There's something, you're going to find something you like, and you're going to find stuff that you don't care for, and it's nice to be able to make those choices and make those decisions based on all the stuff that's out there.
I'm never going to stop trying to trick you, though.
I understand, but listen, my very slow palate can still catch certain things when they try to run past me. No, not this one. All right, so you're going to a holiday party. I'm going to ask each one of you. You're going to a holiday party. You're going to bring one beer. Maybe there's a lot of really experienced beer drinkers there. Maybe there's some people who aren't really experienced beer drinkers, but you know you want something that everybody can enjoy and still show them something new. What would you bring? Who would like to start?
Jim Plackey's going to start.
Jim Plackey's going to start.
I would bring Solemn Oath Lou Kolsch.
Solemn Oath Lou Kolsch.
That's the beer I think I drink more of than any beer now in the last couple of years. And it's complex enough. Yeah, it's complex enough for someone like me to find it interesting to drink, but goes down so easy that I think anyone who normally drinks like a Miller High Life or a Miller Lite, it's 4% alcohol, real crackery, like pretty simple, but yet has like a nice aroma and fun to drink.
All right.
I am going to bring something that I know you'll hate. I'm going to bring a nice Belgian a Belgian Creek. And I'll go either Tre Fontaine, Ode Creek, that's this delightful European brewery, newly distributed in Chicago again, big green bottle, big three on it, for it. They got it at Binnie's, they have it everywhere.
All right.
Or I'll bring Dovetail Creek.
Oh,
that is a delightful holiday beer.
Very nice.
And, you know, these beers are complex, but they're also very approachable with their fruit-forward flavors.
Okay.
Most non-Noonans tend to enjoy them.
I can't be the only person in the world who doesn't like showers.
There's nothing wrong with you. I'm just being a jerk.
I know. That's all right. Listen, I'm not going to bend. But I'm not going to go, all right, John, I'll drink it. This peer pressure doesn't work on me.
I know. I still can't get you to smoke menthols.
No. Smoke menthols, drink sours. That's great.
You got to sell them to him.
Sour Patch Kids. It's fantastic.
That's flavor country.
Yeah, sure it is, if you're a six-year-old. Jesse.
I would normally go with some kind of Belgian. You know, I'm a big fan of Belgian doubles. Because normally with, like, you know, holiday dinners, you have, yes, like, big, hearty meat. But this year, I've been on a Saison kick.
Okay.
It started with, we were at Ali Ali. It's really cool outing. That I had the Saison from Cinderlands. If you could get your hands on that, I forgot what the name is. Cruz Blanca does an amazing Saison, and Off Color does Sox.
Okay.
And their Saison's amazing.
Can I put a bow on this?
Quick, yep.
Jesse Valenciana says, "Tis the Saison."
Tis the Saison. Oh, very nice. You've redeemed yourself. Cody, anything?
Watermelon-flavored Four Loko.
All right. We're gonna take
someone's looking to fight.
We're going to come back and wrap things up. John Carruthers, Jesse Valenciana, Jim Plotkin, Cody Goff, thank you. You can always come in. John, give us your Twitter.
At UT Chicago.
Jesse?
Jesse Manbecue.
Jim?
At Jim Plachy, Plachy.
And you can also go to Good Beer Hunting to read Jim's stuff. All right, let's do this, and there's more WGN. Thanks for listening and being part of the show. Jesse Manbecue's got a pop-up. Hold on. Yep, go.
December 14th at Metric Roasters over on Damon and Fulton. From 8 in the morning till 4 p.m., we'll be doing breakfast sandwiches until noon, and from noon on, we're doing tortas.
All right. Thanks again for listening. I'll keep you posted on the Facebook page. We'll tell you when we're going to be back, what's going to be happening. But always appreciate your support. Always appreciate you listening.